Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I want to try to preach just a few minutes, for the Lord will help us, on beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. If you're like me, you remember what you ought to forget, forget what you ought to remember. But these folks here, they did just what they were told not to do. They went over in the land of Canaan and forgot what the Lord had done for them. And a lot of people today, I fear, has forgot what the Lord has done for them. We're told to remember. That's Revelation 2 and verse 5. Jesus tells the church of Ephesus, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. In other words, you remember where you was at, don't forget that you've fallen from where you was at, repent, do the first works. Or he said, else I'll come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And so, now people are supposed, we're all supposed to remember and not forget the Lord. Let me just talk a minute about some things that causes us to remember, to forget. Same thing caused these folks to forget. Prosperity. They got over there and had nice houses, good wells, nice fruit trees, plenty to eat, plenty to wear. Nowadays, in 2007, it'll be TVs, radios, cars, computers, airplanes, buses, padded pews, carpet on the floor, central heat and air. Amen. Run to the doctor any time. See, I remember when you had to hire somebody or try to get somebody to take you to the doctor because you didn't have any way to get there. You didn't have no money to go when you did get there. May God help us to understand that prosperity causes people to forget where they have been and where the Lord brought them from. Amen. I think today prosperity has got us all so busy. Everybody's in a hurry, going nowhere but into eternity. Right. Used to be you could walk along the road, you know, and pray and meditate. Now some fool will run over you if you try to walk along the road. You've got to go to a walking track or something now. Then you'll have to run into a bunch of sodomites out there. May God help prosperity. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil, which thou, son, coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. They forgot. They erred from the faith. You know, like, is it over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 5, give diligence to add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, then make us you need to be barren, unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar and forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. No, he didn't forget that he got saved. He forgot where the Lord brought him from. Amen. And it's possible that Christians forget where the Lord brought them from. That's why the Bible said in James 1, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any man be a hearer of the word only, he says, a man beholding his natural face in the glass, he sees himself, turns and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He forgets what he looks like. The reason we give invitations right here while we're here is so you would forget what you look like when the Word of God preached to you. If you're not careful, you turn and go out yonder, get home, you forget what you looked and felt like while the Word of God's being preached. Do business with God right there. Ain't that right? And so, now there's some things you're supposed to forget. Philippians 3:9, Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. You know, some Christians will never be used of God until they forget the mistakes they made behind them. You know, the devil defeats a lot of people with past mistakes. Well, you've done tried once. I know people who've got good talent to sing, and they messed up somewhere along the way, and they say, well, I'm not going to try anymore. Well, you keep on trying. Keep on trying. Listen. I'd rather try and fail as a failure to try. Some people don't make mistakes, they never do anything. And so you ought to do the best you can, and God will bless you for that. Prosperity causes people to forget God, and then pleasures cause people to forget God. Pleasures. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now I'm about to get school ball games. I played ball when I was in school, but I'm against idolatry. I'm against having 7 days and 7 nights ball game. Used to, we never did play on Wednesday night nor Sunday. That's right, never on church night. No, no. They knew better than that. Nowadays, they want the kids to practice before they can get out of church on Sunday morning. If they're not playing, they're practicing. Nowadays, it's a softball, baseball, football, basketball, soccer ball, tennis ball, golf ball, and if you'd pitch a ball in the middle of hell, most people would jump in after it.
Right.
Some churches out our way, when the Super Bowl plays, you know, some of them don't even have to bring a screen in, they've done got it. Bring a television in and watch the Super Bowl and have prayer halftime. Well, I wouldn't fool with praying if I was going to have church like that.
Right.
I done read in the Bible with a prayer of the wicked abomination of God in hell.
Right.
If you're going to, you ought not to mix it up. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. One time I was in another city, and I asked a fellow to come to church. He said, where are you going to meet? And I told him. I said, you know where it's at? Oh, yeah, I said, I used to play ball for them. So he wasn't saying nothing, but he played ball for that church. May God help us not to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. God's not against you having some leisure time. God's not against you going fishing unless you go on His time. You know, some folks, they go out, they can go out and sit on a deer stand 3 hours on a cold, frosty morning. I'm talking about getting up and being there at daylight. And they can't get up to church at 10 o'clock. One fellow told me he felt so good and so peaceful and get close to the Lord on a deer stand he could anywhere else. I said, it amazes me that the Lord didn't give us all a deer stand instead of a church. Oh, you say you're against deer hunting. No, sir, I'm not against deer hunting. I'm against getting your priorities mixed up and forgetting God. It'll cause you to forget God. I said, if you get wrapped up in things, if you're not careful. And so prosperity and pleasure and failing to pray will cause you to forget the Lord. Failing to pray. It just helps. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like praying. Well, men ought to always pray. He didn't say pray if you feel like it. He said pray without ceasing. Are you glad you can pray? Are you glad we have access right into God's throne room through Jesus Christ? The veil's been rent. The blood's been shed and sprinkled. The mediator's up there. The propitiation's at God's right hand as our high priest. Thank God we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I think all of us are way short on our prayers. And then another thing causes people to forget God is they don't heed God's preaching. He's the Word of God. He's in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. If you're not careful, when you hear the Word of God, you'll let it slip. You won't hide it in your heart. You won't grasp it. Is that right? The Word spoke my angel steadfast ever transgression and disobedience to see the just image of the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's not the sinners, that's the believers. How shall we escape the chastening of God if we forget what's been preached to us? How shall we forget what the Lord, keep from forgetting what the Lord brought us from if we don't take heed to what's preached to us? That's why we have church, that believers can get established and settled in the grace of God. Move over and turn as it were, and enjoy the blessings of God. God wants you to have not only life, He wants you to have abundant life and be happy at church.
Amen.
Y'all believe that, don't you? He don't want you to be happy at church, He wants you to be happy all the time. He wants you to have full joy. Full joy. Some folks have a little bit of joy. They don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm not talking about fun. I wish they had never brought that word in. It's fun going to church and come out to the Halloween party. We're going to have fun. It's be fun for everybody. Fun's a worldly word. When the party's over, the fun's over. Joy is a spiritual, scriptural word. You have joy at church, and if you get it way down inside, you can have joy when you get home. And joy on your job. Joy because your sins are forgiven. Joy because you got peace with God. Joy because you're going to glory. You totally rejoice in hope. If you got hope of heaven and immortal glory, you totally rejoice about that, whether you feel anything or not. I don't have to feel overwhelming spirit to say, praise God, I'm saved and going to heaven. I don't have to have no. If I know that, and God's let me know that, I got a scripture promise from a God that's in my life. He told me to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Yeah. One man told me, he said, well, when am I supposed to rejoice that I'm afraid I'll get in the flesh? I said, you already in the flesh. For being afraid you'll get in the flesh. I said, have you read Romans 8:8? So then they're in the flesh, cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. Didn't you hear what the sister sang? When the Lord sees me, he sees the blood. When the Lord sees me, he don't say, Paul Mitchell down in the flesh. I'm not in the flesh as far as God's concerned. He killed the flesh. He killed the body. The body's dead because of sin. The spirit's alive because of righteousness. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. As far as God's concerned, it's all fixed and finished. He's not sitting up there looking up, saying, Paul Mitchell, I don't know where he's going to make it or not. I've already got it made. And predestined to be in Roman image of God's Son. He might be the firstborn among many of them. Just as sure as God's in heaven and Christ is his right side and this Bible so, that's how sure believers will be with him when it ends down here. That's the way it is. You say, well, you're pretty sure of that. I'm sure because God made it sure. We forget sometimes that life is mighty short. Life is short. You know, the Bible tells us in James 4:14, it's like a vapor. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3 says, it's a step between me and death. Job, I think, said, man born a woman, few days and full of troubles. Ask some of us old fellows, and we'll look back 50 years and tell you it's just been a few days. It passed by quicker than you thought it would. Is that right? May God help us to understand that the all flesh is as grass, and the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God stands forever. Oh, the psalmist said in Psalm 102 and 3, he said, my days are consumed like smoke. Job said, his life is like a post. Most of y'all are farmers. You put a locust post or a cedar post or something, a fence post in, it's not too many years till you go by and you see it's about to fall over. That's why your life is. You may think you nothing ever get wrong with you. There's something wrong with you now. Just haven't showed up yet. You got blood poison.
Sure.
Yeah. One of them said, as far as I know, there ain't anything wrong with me. But you just don't know. You got more problems than you think you have. It's kind of like my blockage. When you know, when I had that chest pain and everything. I think it'd just be some little blockage. They just shoot a stem in there. I said, it's like sin. It's always worse than you think. Say, man, I got down there, they said, you should stop that. You're about to have a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
See, sin's worse than you think it is. Life's shorter than you think it is. You may not be alive tomorrow night. Who knows? The gasoline might be up there now, and it's going to take us to the cemetery. If you're not ready to die, you're not ready to live. The only people who can enjoy living is them that's ready to die. If we're ready to die, to die's gain. You don't have no worries. We forget sometimes that life is so short. Study the scriptures, especially Genesis over there, and you'll find out all of them over there died. Since Adam sinned, death has never had any respect to any home. Every home's been touched by death since Adam sinned. We forget life is short, and sometimes we forget eternity is long. Eternity is long. In the beginning, wherever that was, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, the Word was God. One of them spiritual agnostics said, where do you think God come from, Brother Mitchell? I said, God hasn't been anywhere to come. Bang. He's everywhere. Some have said, do I make my bed in hell? He's there. He's everywhere all the time. There's an all-seeing eye watching you and me. I like it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And so eternity is long. As long as God lives, you've got to live somewhere since you're alive. One old preacher said, a fellow told him one time, said, I'm going to blow my brains out and end it all. He said, you can't end it all. You can end it all here, but you can't end it all there. Since you're alive, you've got to live somewhere throughout the ceaselessness of eternity. And the wise thing to do in time is to get ready for eternity. Time don't make much difference down here. It's so short, but eternity is so long. I'm looking forward to the time when we get a new body that'll never get old. One man said, well, I think we're going to sit down and talk about the hard time we had. I said, you better read Romans 8:18, for the suffering of this present time and not whether to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. One glimpse of the glory of God, and you'll forget every bad thing ever happened down here. I believe that the former things will be passed away. You'll forget all your problems and troubles and heartaches and disappointments and sadness. None of that will ever be mentioned anymore. Praise God. But everybody now, we're touched with some kind of problems. Children problems, grandchildren problems, school problems, social problems, political problems, spiritual problems. Philip called me last week. I preached a lot of meetings down there in Mississippi. And somebody got disgruntled, had $1 million property there, a big building, fellowship. Somebody said farm, burnt the whole thing up. Oh, you said, you think folks will do that? Well, they did do it. They did do it. Religious flesh is a mean kind of flesh. If you're religious without God, don't care what you might do. We forget sometimes that eternity is long, and then we forget death is sure. The wages of sin is death. God's sovereign how long He allows you to live. He's sovereign how long He allows me to live. We don't know. Only God knows. We do know that we can prepare to die. God fixed it so we can be ready, and I like that myself. And I look back, you know. I look back, as I said, Genesis 5, Adam lived 930 years, Adam died. Go right on down through there, all of them lived so long, they got sons and daughters, and they died. Come on down to Noah, and Noah died. He died even after going through the flood, and coming out on the other side. Finally, he died. You know why? I tell you why. Death's abroad in the land. Yes, sir. Sin's in the land. And you still got the principle of sin in this outer body, though the inward man has been cut loose from the outer man. This outer man, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the blood has an Adamic sin nature in it, therefore you must die physically. That's the way it is. And you've got to have a new body. I'm glad I'm going to get a new body. I have a little fun along the way as I go. Phil said, you think we'll look thin like we do now? I said, do you want to look thin like you do now? You think a fella's going to be up there in heaven and anybody with a haircut with a hole in it? I don't think so. You know, you never have said, I never have been to two complete men on earth. If there wasn't anything wrong with them, you didn't get to see either one of them. That is the first Adam before he sinned, and the last Adam that never did sin, and we didn't get to see either one of them. Right now, since the fall, we're in the image of Adam. That's why we're dying daily. Adam, our father, sinned in the Garden of Eden, and this outer man's perishing day by day, and the inward man renewed day by day. You like that? I like it. Praise God. I have a little fun. Well, said last year, said, meant something about the birthday of Christ. You know, said, celebrate the birthday of Christ. I said, oh, I ain't. Said, yeah. I said, how old is he? He said, well, you know. I said, I don't know, man. You have to tell me. I'm from Fentress County. I said, everybody has birthdays gets older. I was trying to make a little point. I said, everybody has birthdays gets older. You know if anybody has birthdays don't get older? Christ hasn't had a birthday since the resurrected. Time puts no wrinkles on his brow. He rose in a glorified body. He can appear behind closed doors. Amen. Amen. He appeared on the road to Emmaus and expounded the scriptures from Moses all the way down through the prophets concerning himself. They said, let our heart burn within us as he opened to us the scripture. Thank God we're going to get a body fashioned like unto his body. Amen. And never get any older. I'm happy about that. I'm looking forward to it. That's my hope. Listen, this much of lying, liberal, crooked politicians have sold this country out to the devil. They pushed God, and I don't want to get off on that, but I got to talk about them. They pushed God out of the schools in the early 60s. That bunch of mouth-headed hippies and yippies got here in the late 60s. And the drug traffic come, and 1973, the abortion law passed. And about in the 80s and 90s, this sodomy stuff was made legal in here. And now anything goes. And you're the oddball if you're against it now. That's what they think about us. They think, one fellow said, I'm supposed to be a Christian. On a running a so-called Christian radio station. He said, I couldn't let Mitchell on because he criticizes some people's religion. I said, listen, religion will damn you quicker than anything will. Religion's what you do. Salvation's what God does. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. I know it's not popular. I don't play on. Somebody said, you know what so-and-so said about you? I said, no, I don't care. I said, because whatever he said, second-handed, everything be thought of, done, been said. And so I'm just going to keep on going forward and try to love everybody that I can, that'll let me. Now, some folks won't let me love them because I preach against their sin. I've had them sodomites to come in. You say, what do you do? I tell them what the Bible says about it. Not what Barney Frank said about it. Not what some of them nuts in Washington says. What God says. Listen, if those sodomites got among the Israelites, it messed them up. It's perversion. You got to be a pervert to be a sodomite. They're after our kids and grandkids. They didn't want God and the Bible in the schools. So now they got the devil. Kids carrying weapons, killing folks. Yes. Listen, if you forget God, every nation doesn't be turning to hell. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe in hell. I said, well, if you had any sense you would, there's a whole lot of hell up here. Ain't you a whole lot of hell here? There's a lot of homes that's just a little small hell. They fuss and fight, take drugs and drink whiskey and abuse and molest children. And a crooked court system turns them loose. You want me to keep on preaching on that? I can keep on preaching on that. I get stirred up about it. You couldn't get in a crooked place in the county than the courthouse, and you couldn't get in a crooked place in the nation than go up there in Washington and get in them houses. That's right. Greed and lust, and I tell you, covetousness has ruined us. We forgot where we come from. The foundation's been destroyed. And what can the righteous do? The termites of hell has eaten the foundation of the... We forgot. That's why they won't let the school teachers teach American history. We forgot what we was and where God brought us from nationally. And you better run for mercy. Hell's a popping and judgments are coming. That's right. God's going to get angry. That's another thing we get a lot of times. Judgment is certain. You've got to face God. And I've got to face God. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hand of the living God. And this love that's being presented today, but from the average pulpit, is not the love of God. It's a humanistic love, like God might hug the devil's neck anytime. Listen, God's love is a holy love. His love is controlled by His holiness. His wrath is controlled by His holiness. Wrath is holiness responding to sin. That's why Jesus had to undergo wrath. You think God didn't love Sodom and Gomorrah? His pardon for teen and righteous. But His holiness required Him to respond to iniquity. You know what? Somebody said, well, is God going to judge the world? His holiness requires Him to do it. Wow. He can't still be God and not judge sin. And you better be glad, 1 Peter 4, I said to him, think of this, the time has come when judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And the righteous scared to be saved, where shall the ungodly sinner appear? Oh, thank God, I'm glad judgment begun with me when they preach the word of God. The first work of the Holy Spirit, it's to reprove the world's sin. Holy Spirit, come and judge me and reprove me under gospel preaching and enlighten me and sanctify me. And I got up from that condemnation to the mercy and grace of God. That kind of stirs me up. Hallelujah. Yes. That's why Paul told him to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Paul went about proving the people that they are sinners. Romans 3:9. Proving they are sinners. In the book of Acts, read all the sermons through the book of Acts. What them fellas done was prove people guilty. When Peter preached to that bunch of Christ-rejecting Israelites, on the day of Pentecost, he said, you, by wicked hands, have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. You're guilty of rejecting the king. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said, what must we do? They didn't have to have a puppet show to get them converted. Praise God, when judgment began and God turned the light on, they thought they were going to hell. That's what you've got to see. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. We forget sometimes that hell is a real place. I was thinking today about the vocabulary of the Lord Jesus Christ and His hellfire and damnation preaching. You know, I know some people claim to be followers of Christ and don't even believe in hell. But both of those couldn't be true. I mean, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you must believe in the damnation of hell. Matthew 23:33, He said, you're a generation of vipers. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? To a bunch of religious Pharisees. that have perverted the Word of God and the law of God. Oh, listen, I'm glad that I don't have to go to hell. Now, some folks think that Christians might lose out and go to hell. I said, listen, if Christians could go to hell, they wouldn't even burn after they got there. Because Christ proved that in Daniel chapter 5 and the 3 Hebrew children was in the fire. They threw them in the furnace of fire, heated up 7 times hotter than it wanted to be heated, and when Jesus got in there, the fire didn't burn them. So if Christ was on the inside of us, we went to hell, we wouldn't burn because Christ conquered it. That'll make you shout a little. That kind of stirs me up. Hell is a place of damnation, a place of death. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place of demons. Hell is a place of denial and despair. You ought to shout because you don't have to go. Here, no fear of them that's able to destroy the body and have no power, but the him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Hell's a real place. Real people go there. And you know what? We forget sometimes all this religion that's going on. We forget that Christ is the only hope. Heaven, salvation, Christ is the only hope. You know, you got the water lights, the mud heads. You got to be baptized. I put a little right up in the paper and stirred them all up just a couple of weeks ago. I got to bed. I thought I got to get something stirred up. So I put, is water baptism essential to salvation? And give some inversion. Boy, they come back and spent $75 on my ad. They come back and said, and I explained 1 Peter 3:21, baptism but now saveth. Referring to Noah's blood. You know, and they come back and said, oh, water baptism but now saveth. I said, look at that. He'll say he's saved. And then tell you he's got to endure to the end to be saved. Ain't that right? You're not saved now if you have to endure the end to be saved. And by the way, which end? End of the world? End of this life? End of time? End of the millennial? Well, it's right in the setting, the end of the tribulation. It's talking about flesh salvation. Except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There would no place be saved if the time of Jacob's trouble wasn't short or something, they'd kill all of the Israelites. That's the reason the hot spot's over there now. They hate them Israelites, don't they? They hate them. If they could, they'd kill them all tonight. But they can't. They're beloved for the Father's sake. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Enemies for our sake, the love for the Father's sake. Oh, yes, listen. Christ is our only hope. Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? Is He living in you? Is He your companion? Is He your precious stone? I mean, that believe He is precious. Who's the most precious person in all the world of you tonight? Is it Jesus Christ? He's the precious one. A lot of other precious people I know that's precious to me, but He's the most precious one. He's the main one. You wouldn't mean much to me if I didn't know Him. Since I know Him, then I know you because I got acquainted. I wouldn't have got acquainted with you if I hadn't got acquainted with Him first. I wouldn't have been over your church acquainted with God's people if I got acquainted with Him first before I met you. We met Him down here. We'll meet Him up there.